Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today's program is, I suppose the best way I could put it is in two sections. And the second section will be taking a look at the readings for today. But I came across a little excerpt of an article by a woman whose name is Anne Voskamp, and I've mentioned her before. Magnificat magazine has quoted her, and she wrote a book called 1,000 Gifts that became a New York bestseller magazine. Young woman in her 30s. She's older than that now, but at the time, she was quite a sensation. And I've watched what she's written since then, and she's gone deeper and deeper and deeper. And I want to share with you something that she wrote here, because all of us, in fact, we were speaking about it the other day, how much Satan wants to get a hold of us and crush us, destroy us. And because we're bearing heavy crosses, we think, well, God's not helping me. And I get this brilliant idea that I'm going to try this or try that. And oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, that's the voice of the enemy trying to find you some kind of comfort so that you will in turn follow the enemy rather than following God. Now, here's what Anne Voskamp says about it, and it's worth thinking about. She says, how do you survive if you don't turn on the enemy of your soul and call him by what his ugly name really means? Satan. What does it really mean? Prosecutor. The one who prosecutes in a trial. The one who throws out everything to make you guilty so that you're convicted and condemned. That's the work of the enemy. And he plays it in our lives all the time. And she said, the very name Satan literally means prosecutor. And his work isn't ultimately to tempt you, but to try you. He wants to try you and find you guilty so that you give up and you turn away from God. To try your past, to try your perseverance in believing you're worth anything, to try your patience with yourself and your whole bent-up world. Mama's twisting her one ring around and around like she's trying to find a way out of herself. He would steal our presence, our very knowledge of the healer's presence, if he could. If you let Satan prosecute you, you will ultimately imprison yourself. That's what happens. We turn in on ourselves. He entices us and tempts us in such a way that we become suspicious of God and we turn away from God. And then we're in his hands. This is always the weapon that the weary and worn out can wield to silence the enemy's voice in our heads. Make him present, even where it feels too broken, even when it hurts to swallow. Call him for who he is. Because this is the thing, she says, the prosecutor of your soul can't ever nail you. Time can't wreck your life. You can't wreck your life. Nothing in all this world can separate you from the love of Christ, and his love is your life. Your life is unwreckable because Christ's love is unstoppable. But that's only if you have faith. If you reject and turn away, you lose the very one who wants to help you, and Satan has won. She says, what seems to be undoing you can ultimately remake you. What if the deeper you know your own brokenness, the deeper you can experience your own belovedness? That is how dearly you're loved by God. Suffering that does not break us away from more of this world and break us into more of God is wasted suffering. I'm going to read that sentence again. Suffering that does not break us away from more of this world. To say, there's no answers here. This world has no answers. All I've experienced is pain and hardship. And break us into more of God is wasted suffering. Whatever suffering you're enduring in your life right now, whatever that suffering is, bring it to the Lord, even if you're tempted to think that it's the Lord. It's the Lord punishing me because I did this or I did that. God's punishment never leads to despair. It actually leads to hope, real hope, hope that's on a solid foundation, not just wishful thinking, but genuine hope, and you seek to follow him more. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let him try to turn you away from God. God will never force you. You know that. You know how many times I've said that. He waits for you. You've got the free will. You make the choice. But it's a choice that you desperately need to make. The opening prayer for today's liturgy is, "Attend to the pleas of your people with heavenly care, O Lord, we pray, that they may see what must be done and gain strength to do what they have seen." What is God asking of you in your situation, your family, your workplace, your friends? What is God asking of you? Are you willing to carry it out? That they may see what must be done and gain strength to do what they have seen. The first reading for today is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10 and 19 to 20. During the time young Samuel was ministered to the Lord under Eli, a revelation of the Lord was uncommon and vision infrequent. One day, Eli was asleep in his usual place. His eyes had lately grown so weak that he could not see. The lamp of God was not yet extinguished, and Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And the Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Immediate response, "Here I am." And Samuel ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. And again the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as yet. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am. You called me." And then Eli understood that it was the Lord who was calling the youth. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go to sleep. And if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" That's advice to all of us. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel, young man, is learning how to hear the Lord, how to distinguish the voice of the Lord. Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. Thus all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, came to know that Samuel was an accredited prophet of the Lord. Remember his mother. Remember what she endured before she conceived him. God has everything in his hands. Trust him. Follow him. Psalm 40, "Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will." This is a psalm that I would say should be prayed every day, frankly, until we really get it through our thick skulls, that we want to do God's will because that's what's going to make us happiest in every way. Really, even when it's hard. When you're confident and assured that you're doing what God wants and you're loved by God, no one can disturb that level of peace. "I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry. Bless the man who makes the Lord his trust, who turns not to idolatry." That's to all the things that the world offers to make you happy. or to those who stray after falsehood. Sacrifice or oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. Nothing pleases God more than to hear his sons and daughters say that to him. The next stanza says, to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. In other words, it's not just information, but it's gone to my heart. It shapes the way I think and the way I live. It's living, has power to make your life very, very good. Let's take a look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up, and then the fever left her, and she waited on them. She didn't sit down and say, okay, well, this is good. I'm just going to sit back and relax. No, she got up to serve. When God touches our lives, when he heals us, it's in order that we might serve the divine plan, not as a peon, not as a slave, but as a son or daughter of God, a member of the family of God. Do you understand your dignity, your worth, your value? When it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. He did not want the evil voice declaring him the Messiah, the Son of God. It confuses people. Who do I listen to? Whose voice do I listen to? So he silenced them because he didn't want them enticing people. Satan doesn't even mind saying he is the Son of God if by that he could entice people to draw very close to him, to Satan, to get confused, to not listen to the true voice. He drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. He silenced them. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, everyone is looking for you. He told them, let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come. So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. So the disciples are looking for Jesus. And after a while, they learn to find him in the deserted places praying, which is what we should imitate. But Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, everyone is looking for you. And he told them, let us go to the nearby villages that I may preach there. He wants to speak the truth. Let him do it through you. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you to read again my booklet on faith more precious than gold. I've been talking a lot about faith and will continue to do so, and that booklet could be very helpful to you or to others you'd like to give it. Simply call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or go online to renewalministries.net and click on bookstore.